We're here recording at 10 p.m. again for the second week in a row. Looks like we're making a habit of it. Anyway, we're in the middle of E3 and joined by the usual cast of characters here. I'm Eric, as always, joined by Rick.
Hey, guys, this is Rick X, the new, more powerful edition.
Jason.
Heyo.
And Nadia's here.
Hey, everybody. This is Nadia. Great to be here again, even though I decided to join on a whim. So here we go.
Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Whims are impulses and whims are great. They're fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I hope so.
So you know what we're going to do, guys? We're going to power through this pre-E3 stuff real quick so we can spend the majority of the show talking about the E3 things that we've seen yesterday and today and what could be coming up. Sound good? Excellent. So,
yeah.
First off, we have Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, which, what do you guys think? I know that I'm pretty sure Rick and Jason have some pretty strong thoughts on this.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it does.
Battles look over the top. It just looks like a good little RPG. Nice little throwback.
Yeah.
Now, this is... I just like it because it looks Castlevania-y, and I haven't played one of these in a while, so...
Yeah. From what I read, I think it's like the spiritual successor to Symphony of Night.
Yes, and that means I will instantly play it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, definitely. That was a great game. So,
yeah, it was.
I'm still working on Symphony of the Night. I have it, but
I'm sorry. What's that?
I'm still working on playing it. Symphony of the Night.
You're playing it now?
Yeah. Well, not actually. I haven't started yet. It's on my list.
Oh, okay.
Right now. During the cast.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But, I mean, I love games with this feeling. I like fighting Dracula and monsters and horror, and it's a great theme, so I'm really happy to see more games taking this on. So that's about as far as it goes for me.
Symphony is an excellent game. It might be the best Castlevania game. So, yeah, definitely play that.
I've heard that. That's why I've got it from the backwards compatibility sale that Xbox had a few weeks ago.
Ah, okay.
It was like $2. So I picked it up and I'm gonna play it.
I paid full price for it.
When? When did it come out?
90 something.
Night.
So
yeah. Well, it's not bad. If you like 98? It.
I don't know. I loved it.
Excellent. Well, if we're talking about older games, Sega and Atari retro consoles are coming out this fall, new ones, and they actually look pretty decent. One of the Sega ones has a home console that can play cartridges and a mobile one. And I never really owned Atari, so I don't really know how they're different or the same. But
well, there's been a ton of these. I think this is the eighth one, the eighth generation of these. I have like two of them, I think. But I don't know what the difference is. I mean, see, they look a little bit different, that's for sure. But I think they change up the games. But the only thing is, how many games were there for the Atari? I don't know how they could still be, you know, reloading, you know, new games onto these things. Because I think they've run through them all.
Right. You know how many? Right. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, the Sega one I'm actually pretty excited about because the value, quote-unquote, the value console that they're coming out with is very similar to the one that's already on the market. Okay, that's great. But the other one is made to look like a Generation 1 Sega Genesis, which I think is just super cool. And it's got, it's got 40 games built in or something like that, and then plus you could run your own cartridges. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, good stuff. I might pick up the mobile Sega Genesis one just because that would be really neat to have. And I already own a Sega Genesis. It's not loaded with games on it, but it's almost no point in buying another one.
Yeah. I have the first gen portable. That's it's really pretty cool.
That is neat.
Doesn't have so Pac-Man.
The Atari 2600 library had more than 565 games.
Okay.
So,
I guess I
don't know what that means.
Well, I think they could all be different then, because I'm pretty sure there's just a few games on these things, like, you know, like 40 games. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 105 games is on the new one.
Nice. That's a lot. That's a lot of games for one thing. You guys ever play the Intellivision?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a good console.
Eric, there's an Intellivision flashback also.
I would really look into that, but a couple years ago, my dad bought an OG Intellivision from someone on eBay, and it came with like 200 games.
Oh my god!
So, and it's in pretty good condition. It works.
That's a good deal.
Fun to play Sea Battle.
Sea Battle.
It's so bad. It's so good.
Yeah.
With the remote control style paddles, with the overlays. Because every button is something different in every game. It's great.
That instantly reminds me of the Atari Jaguar, too.
Oh, yeah.
That giant controller.
Well, man, we can have a retro
yes.
cast one day. But let's talk about the Nintendo download. They have some neat stuff this week. I think you wrote this, right, Jason?
There's really no neat stuff.
Oh well, good stuff.
You've oversold. Like Cars
3.
I don't know why everybody's laughing about that. I will be going to see that in the movie theater.
Will you play the game?
If I get a review copy.
So you won't.
Yes, correct. That's right. So, the other neat thing, I guess if you want to say it was neat, that happened this week, that CD Projekt Red's files for Cyberpunk 2077 were compromised. And they kind of put out a statement saying, you know...
Definitely not neat.
What'd you say?
I don't think that's neat at all. It sucks.
No, it does suck. I thought it was pretty obvious that I was being sarcastic.
I guess not to me.
Well... If it wasn't to you, I'm sure it won't be to any of our listeners either. So it's a good thing that point was raised. But anyway, CD Projekt Red put out a statement that said, hey, these files were compromised. We're not paying the ransom. You know, don't look at the files. And if you do, they're not indicative of where the game stands right now. And that's pretty much it. Good on them for not giving in. But it sucks that people need to attack them like this.
It really does.
All right. They are a bunch of jerks. So we kind of lost Jason. He just dropped out of our chat. We're going to wait to see if he comes back. But in the meantime, I think we're going to start talking some E3 stuff. Rick, do you want to start us off? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, we can do that. Hold on a second. Let me pull my notes up here.
Sure. There's just so much to go through. So that's why I... through a lot of the other stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah. So first off, it was pretty good presser. I enjoyed it. It was mostly centered around the Xbox X, which is going to release later this year, November 7th. And it's going to run at $499. So it's a pretty powerful piece of machinery. It's also the smallest. When it releases, it'll also be the smallest console out on the market, which is pretty amazing in itself right there. So, well,
sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the smallest Xbox console?
I don't know. They said the smallest console on the market.
I just don't know how it's going to be smaller than the Switch.
I guess that's technically true.
A console.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe it is than just the Xbox family then.
That's fair either way. Anyway, what do you not even the games. What did you think of the hardware? Because I didn't get to watch it live. I kind of caught up and saw some stuff. But you're a pretty big Xbox fan. What do you think of the hardware?
You know, I don't know hardware that well to really speak about it. I wrote up a little thing about it. But, I mean, outside of just knowing it's going to run faster, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. One little thing that stuck out to me, it'll be the first console to have a liquid-cooled vapor chamber. So that's pretty nifty. And then they also redesigned their whole power management. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. I believe they were able to do something really different with it this time around. So it's just, it looks cool too. I think it's just going to be a great addition to the Xbox lineup on the hardware side.
So I know we had this conversation before, but the thing that really worries me is that this is, as you know, it's after the S. This is the beginning and the PS4 Pro. This is kind of taking steps towards incremental console increases. So they're more like PCs, except instead of spending, you know, $200 upgrade one piece every few years, you have to spend $500 to upgrade the entire thing. And I really hope that doesn't happen. Because as of right now, you can play all the games on the Xbox One, on the Xbox One X, on the One Xbox One S, which is great. But I, Jeff, am very worried about the player base getting split up and them saying, oh, this game's only going to be available on the One X.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see kind of what happens with it.
Right. It seems like right now that they're very focused on keeping this in the Xbox One family of consoles, kind of like the Nintendo has the 3DS family. So if that's the case, that's fine, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what their plans are for their next generation or console. I mean, because what, this is the third year it's been around, right? Fourth year. So
2012, right?
I thought I saw today it was 2013.
I don't know. I'm bad at not remembering when things happen like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see kind of what happens as they go along. I know what you're saying, though. I hope they don't, because it does suck to have to buy... I didn't buy an S. I still have just the original Xbox ones. So I'll probably upgrade, but I don't think I'm going to be in any rush either, because I think they're going to sell out really quick already. So hopefully maybe just get one at the holiday season.
Right. Yeah, I can see myself upgrading, but not for a little while. And when I do, I'm definitely going to want to trade in my current Xbox One towards it.
Yeah, because, me too.
You know, I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't want to do that unless you didn't have one already.
Yeah.
So, well, let's get into the games. What really stood out for you from the conference? What stood out to you, Rick? Because you covered it for us.
Oh, man. There was a lot of great games. Let me look here. You know, the one that pops out to me right away is A Way Out. That was in the E3, and I know this isn't an Xbox game or exclusive one, but that game I saw and it was just like, holy cow.
Right. Yeah.
So
if we're talking about EA, I think A Way Out looks incredible. I thought we were sticking with the Microsoft for now, but that's fine. It's fine. I think A Way Out looks incredible. Nadia, have you been able to keep up on this news, or have you been busy the past couple days?
Let's see. I've tried to catch a few things of what you guys have been covering, but basically my focus has been elsewhere, as you guys know. So, but whatever you guys have posted, I'll decide, like, I've checked it out. So, yeah. And then I also saw what Aaron had said today, or was it yesterday, on the Brutal Gamer group about what you guys have been talking about. So I thought that was very interesting of his view and takes on it. But other than that, I really don't know any more than what's been presented or what I've been caught up with. So,
sure, just curious.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry, Nadia.
That's okay.
I was just gonna say, for people who aren't in the group and aren't aware, So Aaron, one of our writers, mentioned that he thinks that press conferences, and especially the way EA presented, need to disappear. And I kind of get where he's coming from, because a lot of the stuff that EA showed, which I'm not sure if Rick watched it, I'm not sure if Nadia watched it, but I'm sure a lot of people, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably saw it. It really just awkward and stilted, and showing a lot of esports players and streamers, and no, I don't care about Battlefield 1 streamers. I don't care about, you know, I don't care about Madden esport players, right?
Yeah.
If you're playing an esport, why are you playing a simulation of a real sport? If you're playing an esport, why aren't you doing something cool like Overwatch or Rocket League? Like, why are you playing Madden? I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm actually not a big fan of EA anyway, because of all the sports stuff. Like, I'm not really a sports person, so whenever I see like a new sports game come out, I'm like, okay, like, I'm not really excited, you know? So I don't know if it's right. just me. I don't know. Maybe it's because maybe I have different tastes or whatever, but I don't know. I don't really see the appeal, you know? And then the game that it sells for, it's like really, really expensive. So I've never seen the appeal with sports games in general, but I'm not, you know, saying that just because I don't like it, somebody else won't. But I remember my brothers used to play a lot of EA sports games, but I never really saw the appeal, but maybe it's just me.
Right, and I totally get that. The thing that stinks is EA has some really cool stuff if you're willing to wait through all that sports chat. And I'm not even against the sports games. I just don't want to see them at E3 because they're never that new. Yeah, I think sense. You said something. Oh, sorry, Rick.
Oh, no, I get that. I don't think there needs to be anything like that either. I don't know. I think the sports games are pretty boring to watch because they all look kind of the same once they're like, hey, it's Frostbite Engine, and then they just all look the same to me.
Yeah.
Right. And Jason, I know you were talking about this off the air.
Yep.
What do you think about this new story mode in Madden?
basically, that's what I think. You know, nice. when I play Madden, I just play usually I don't even play a season. Or the franchise mode. I just do exhibition games. That's pretty much it.
Right.
You know,
I guess so, you're not an esports master at Madden.
And you are correct. I am not. I love football. I pick up Madden pretty much every year. I tend to agree that it games like that and like FIFA and stuff like that. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me, but I don't think they deserve the spotlight that they get at shows like E3. I think, you know, a mention, show them in a, like a montage or some video clips, and then, you know, maybe throw out a press blast, and that would probably be more than enough.
Right. So that's what EA did during the presser, right after they talked about FIFA. They sent out a press blast about the Switch version of the game. And honestly, that probably would have been enough for the main version of the game. They did not need to bring the men with blazers up there. They didn't need to do that whole fake video about this fake soccer player to promote the story mode. I think having...
Wait, he was fake?
he's not a real player, right? Is this a real person?
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. Well, and even if he is a real person, okay? Having a long story mode like this makes it so that if I pick up FIFA this year on a whim, I'm not going to want to pick it up, or I'm not going to want to play that story because I missed the entire first part. And that's a huge, huge stop there, because people don't typically, I mean, sometimes they do. I pick up every NHL because I'm a hockey fan. You said you pick up every Madden.
Pretty much.
Because you're a football fan. Yeah. You know, so sometimes people will. But a lot of times, I know people will just not pick a game up for a few years. Because they're so iterative. They're just so samey.
I don't think I'm going to be picking up Madden 18.
Right.
And I usually pick it up every year, but I've been thinking a lot about it, and you know, think of all the resources that went into making this little storyline thing, you know, the cutscenes, the writing, the actors, the animation, all this stuff where they could have, you know, where Jason, you play like exhibition, I'll play franchise mode and I'll play like, you know, a decade in. And I love like having all the little nuances, and I wish they would bring back like offensive coordinators and it just get really like deep down into the game where it used to be. But I don't think they can do that because they have to have this whole division about, you know, the story mode. So that's kind of where it kind of disconnects with me, because I'm not going to play that at all.
So do you have, Rick, do you have, so you have like no interest at all in a story mode in a sports game?
No, I never have. Like the Ultimate Player, even when they started doing that stuff back in the day, you know, I tried it out once and I didn't like it. I'm too much of a control freak. I like to play the whole, like, you know, offense or defense.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
So,
I don't actually pick up, I'm a huge baseball fan, but I don't pick up the show anymore. Cause I just got tired of it. And I found that I what I used to love? Triple Play, from EA.
Yeah.
Triple Play Baseball. Too. Right. Those yeah. I thought ones, that was a great series. But I just, after a while, I felt like there was just nothing new enough, and, it got kind of dull.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I hear you about Madden. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I could definitely understand if you don't pick it up.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably wait until it's on sale, because I'm sure it's going to be great and it's going to look good because it's got the new engine, Frostbite and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not, I don't want to spend $60 on it.
That's totally fair. I just wish they would have said something about NHL, but they never do.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because the audience is a lot smaller.
Yeah. They'll save that for later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they're going to talk about the other ones, they could at least mention NHL.
Is Madden coming out for Switch?
I don't know if Madden is. I know it's...
Probably not. Well, I don't know. Does the Frostbite engine work on the Switch?
Not a clue.
Well, someone smart who's listening to this and knows about that stuff, get back to us. Let us know. Well, other than the sports nonsense, because that's what it is, I don't think they needed a whole drumline to open up that press conference. That was absurd. Made me so angry that they were wearing Patriots jerseys. Yeah, sorry. So, A Way Out, which, if anybody's not aware, and there's trailers everywhere, all you got to do is type into Google A Way, and then it'll finish out for you, trailer, E3 reveal. It starts with these two guys who are in prison, and it's a mandatory co-op game, even either online or couch.
It's couch, though. It's couch co-op.
Yeah.
And you're basically working together to break out of prison. It's asynchronous, so characters aren't always going to have the same objectives. They don't go about things the same way. I forget their names. Vincent, the one character is?
Yes.
Believe. Yeah, something like that.
Vincent fights his way out and, like, knocks guards out, and the other guy, I don't know his name, bribes guards and, you know, gets favors and stuff. So
yeah, I like Vincent's way.
I like his 80s prison sideburns.
Me too.
But
he's an odd-looking guy.
Looking at these trailers, watching the reveal and the gameplay and everything, this just really looks... It has an almost unnatural... Uncharted vibe to it.
Oh, you know what? It does.
Like, they're just the cinematic. And then especially at the end when the one's jumping and the other guy has his hand out to help him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, this really looks like Uncharted.
Wow, you are right. Yeah.
Which isn't bad. That would be incredible if this is a co-op asynchronous Uncharted.
It kind of gave me a, Dead Rising vibe, kind of.
Okay.
Only a little bit more. You had a lot more freedom with your character models and animations and stuff.
Right.
But I don't know. It just looked really unique to me. Out of all the games I've seen so far, that's the one that was just like, I have to play that game.
You know, Ever since EA started doing this, I forget what this segment of their conference is called, but it's where they focus on like indie devs, and it started with Unraveled, and last year was Fi or whatever that game is that never saw the light of day. But this year, I don't know, I just think it's a cool segment, and it really gives a spotlight to these games. And if you guys aren't aware, this game is being headed up by the guy who made Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, which was a PS Plus game, which it's apparently incredible. I haven't played it yet.
It's a good game.
But yeah, so this game looks, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty neat, and it's definitely on my radar for when it's announced.
Yeah.
The only problem is I need to find someone I can play through it with, because I'll play it with you. I'll play it with anybody.
Cool. Let's
do it. It doesn't have big round cowboys in it, so I can't exactly play it. Somebody, yeah.
Why don't you play good games, Eric?
Yeah, like the ones with the cows.
Yeah, all right. All right. I'll get back into the Xbox games here now. So first up, there was Forza 7 Motorsport. Yes. I'm not a huge racing game person. It looks awesome. It looks beautiful. To me, this is like the only part of the whole presser that really kind of dipped for me, because they revealed this Porsche that's never been built before. But again, I just don't like racing games.
It was on stage.
So I thought it was kind of, I don't know, it just felt like it stopped the whole presser. So, but that's just me. And then
the car?
Yeah, the car.
Yeah, and I didn't like that either.
Yeah, and then now we started to get into the good games. In the first started with the Metro 2033 series, I believe.
Yeah.
And it just looks awesome. The new one's called Metro Exodus, and it just looked really good. And it was kind of cool because, you know, the whole premise of the first two games is that you can't go out on the surface. And in this one, at the end of the demo, he kind of runs out onto the surface, you know, and he rips his gas mask off. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That was cool. I like the train too. That is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're familiar at all with Metro, like you were saying, there isn't any of that stuff. So that's mm-hmm. very promising.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. And if you haven't picked up the first two games, they're really good and they're pretty cheap on Xbox One right now. So that one looked really good. After that, we got a first glimpse at the Assassin's Creed Origin. This looks really good. It tells the origins of the Brotherhood, and it takes place in ancient Egypt.
Yes.
People will play as Bayak, and it looks really cool. You're kind of like a beastmaster, and you get to fly the eagle, and then the eagle will kind of give you a scout's eye view of what's kind of going on in your mission. So it's kind of like Far Cry-ish.
Keep going.
Oh, that's okay. And then they also featured a kind of a bullet time type slowdown thing while he was shooting arrows. And then they're bringing in some RPG elements, such as a looting system with weapons and gear and all that. And it's also going to be available this year in October. What'd you guys think? I thought it looked pretty good. I'm pretty excited for it. I just hope the story is good.
That's going to be it, the story, because everything else to me, this looks great. So I can't wait to play it. And I haven't gotten into an Assassin's Creed in a long time, so I'm hoping this is the first one.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. And I think that it goes back to the opening of the timeline, basically, when, you know, the Brotherhood started, really gives people a good chance and a good spot to jump on.
Yeah that's true.
Good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Was my first thought when I heard Origin was, oh wow, I can play this and not be totally confused about who the Templars are and why the Brotherhood's evil. Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a soft reboot.
Yeah. I can see. Yeah. And you know what it kind of is? Because this is the first Assassin's Creed game since they started that we're not going to do one every year nonsense that they started. So yeah.
And is there a did anybody catch if there's a modern day segment? No, right?
I've read that there is.
Oh, there is.
But it's kind of going to be like how I think I think it was Black Flag, how it's kind of a first person thing, but it's not going to be so puzzle driven, maybe, is what they were saying.
I was kind of hoping there wouldn't be anything and just do a more traditional thing, because I'm kind of tired of that.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was super cool at first.
So did I.
But then it really just wore on me and started grating against my nerves.
It got really dull. I mean, and even like when they closed out, the hell was his name? Escapes me.
Desmond.
Okay. Even when they closed out his storyline, it was like I was kind of thinking, okay, let's just end it then with the modern stuff and just start doing, you know, like historical, you know, pieces only, and just limit it to that. But you know, then we got like that weird stuff, like you were saying with Black Flag and things like that, and not so into that.
No, it wasn't as fun. Yeah, so we'll see. But
I'm really looking forward to it.
It looks really good. That'll be a good one. After that, they revealed that there's going to be Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. It's a pretty popular PC game. I didn't know anything about it. Apparently, it's a battle royale with up to 100 players playing at once. It's a kind of a third person or FPS shooter game, and it's kind of looks like it was just Hunger Games in a video game style thing.
Sounds cool. I didn't know anything about it either.
You know, I only heard about this a couple, like last week, when a friend of mine brought it up to me. Mm-hmm. And this just sounds like the Hunger Games video game that just people want. It's like, you know, it's a certain amount of people stuck in one arena and only one person leaves at the end. You only win by killing people. So
it looks insane. I mean, it looks like a blast, but it just looks insane. So
right. No, I totally agree. Imagine. I'm so happy because my PC would not be able to handle this game. So coming to Xbox, means I get a chance to play it.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
Very excited about that.
Next up, this one I was actually pretty stoked for after I saw it. I didn't know anything about it, but it's called Deep Rock Galactic. And it's a little cel-shaded game, and it looks like it's an FPS, and you team up with three other people, so there's four players. And I think you just go into these, like, mines, and you have to mine stuff, like gold or minerals, but at the same time, there'll be, like, a bunch of spiders or crabs or something or monsters that come out, and you kind of have to fight your way out. There wasn't too much more revealed about this one, so I don't know. I'll have to keep an eye out, but it looked really good.
That did look cool, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And then one that I didn't think I would be excited for, but is State of Decay 2. It looks like what Walking Dead should be. It just looks, everything about it, the animations look better, the models look better, the game just looks better, obviously, because it's running on Xbox X. But I mean, I might be actually picking this title up because I think you can play with other players now. And I don't know. What did you think, Jason?
I thought it looked really cool. As somebody who's super tired of zombie games too, I have to say it looks awesome. Really nice environments. Looks like there's a lot of stuff you can do in it. Pretty nice. I didn't play the first one either.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. Next up, go ahead.
Nope, my takes are not that hot. It's okay.
Yeah. All right. There's another battle arena game they did very little information about called the Darwin Project. Again, there was like a 10-second playthrough of it. So it just looks like another arena battle game. Minecraft, while not really my bag, they revealed some really cool stuff. And people across any kind of device will be able to play together starting this summer. And I just think that's utterly amazing. So hats off to them. And then they're also doing like an upgraded HD version of their graphics. So, you know, you still have that Minecraft feel, but it actually looks really nice. So I think those are pretty big strides there for technology.
Yeah, that did look cool. I'm not a Minecraft fan either, but just being able to play like all of those different platforms all together, that's pretty neat.
You know, it's just really cool because I can't say the name of the company. It always escapes me, like Mojang or
something. Oh, Mojang. Yeah.
Yeah, Mojang. This is the second year in a row that they have continued to innovate like ahead of everybody. Because last year they introduced the Play Anywhere with the Windows 10 and the Xbox One. So for them to go this year and do it across everything is pretty amazing.
Definitely.
Next up, this one looks pretty cool. It's a new Dragon Ball Z game called Dragon Ball Fighter Z. And oh my God, it just looks like a fighting game on crack. You like take a take a Capcom game and you mix it with a Neo Geo game and you just like, I don't know. It just looks off the charts. It's crazy. So yeah, I mean, you just combine Dragon Ball into a 2D fighter game and there you go. So I don't know. What'd you think, Jason?
That about sums it up. Yeah. I'm also not a Dragon Ball Z fan, but it looked pretty insane, I gotta admit.
Well, hold on. Let me get in here with this.
Oh.
So
here we go.
I absolutely adore the 2D Dragon Ball Z fighting game. Dragon Ball Z, Budokai 2, Budokai 3, Budokai Taichi, Budokai Tenkaichi 2, Taichi 3, Raging Blast, Xenoverse 2.
Oh my.
These games are really fun. And the fact that Guilty Gear devs, Arc Systems or whatever their name is, are making this is really neat. They make really strong 2D fighters. And there hasn't been a good 2D Dragon Ball Z fighting game since Budokai 3.
Yeah.
So, which was on the PS2.
Yep.
So
my brothers love the Dragon Ball Z games. They went crazy for it. And when I tried to verse them, like we used to play together, they would kick my ass. So there you go. And they used to like the cartoon as well. And I used to really like Guilty Gear. So I'm a big Guilty Gear fan. So that's good to know.
So this sounds like it might be right up your alley. It's probably going to play very similar to Guilty Gear. I was watching a couple trailers before we started recording, and it looks pretty slick.
That's awesome. Yeah, it does.
It does.
So, as somebody
who... I would be tempted.
Me too. What do you say? I definitely would be.
Oh, right. I was going to say, as somebody who loves Dragon Ball Z and fighting games, this is it. I still haven't picked up Xenoverse 2, but I might when it releases on the Switch.
Is this coming to Switch?
It should. Oh, and we wouldn't know because they only showed it at the Microsoft conference so far.
According to our website here, according to our little website, it says no.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, there we go. Well, you know, if Mega Man Collection 2 isn't coming to the Switch.
Yeah, what the hell? Why not? My God.
All right. Next up was this really cool MMOPG called Black Desert. It's kind of hard to explain. They didn't really tell too much other than at first I thought it would look like kind of an interactive RTS, but then it turned into like this hack and slash adventure where it kind of looks like a Monster Hunter slash maybe fighting an army. So I don't know. It looked really cool. I'll play it if it's an MMOPG. It might be free. So I'll definitely give it a whirl if it's a free-to-play kind of game. Next up, there was this weird 2D pixel game called The Last Night, and there's literally nothing. The only thing I could get from it kind of gave me a Blade Runner vibe from
the setting. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's literally nothing on this one. This is like another 10-second like game thing. So,
Rick, I've been trying to think of the name of that for like the past 10 minutes.
Yeah. I wish I wrote down who the director was. I think it's someone famous because that's how this game started off with. So
it looks really good though.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Next up was one of the games I'm really, really looking forward to is The Artful Escape of Francis Vendetti. Mm. And oh man, I guess the only way for me to explain it is if like Bill and Ted made a music video. So I mean
that sounds fair.
It just looks ridiculous, like ridiculously good. So yeah, definitely check that one out. Then they did a bunch of games that are really fast. So bear with me here. There was Code Vein, and it kind of looks like a Dark Soulish type of game mixed with animation cutscenes. Yeah. It looked fun, but it looks like it'll be pretty hard. And then there was a really extended long look of Sea of Thieves. Yeah, definitely check out the gameplay. They go aboard a island and they steal some treasure, and you see a couple more enemies. And again, that game looks awesome. And then there was the Gravity-less adventure space station game, Tacoma. And we've talked about this game a few times before, and I think we've written a couple articles. I believe you're like the last person stuck in this space station, and you're trying to find out exactly what happened. I may be wrong on that one. But
I think you're right. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And then we got our first, I guess, child-centric game, a Cape Wearing Fox, also known as Super Lucky's Tale. It looks like a freaking Mario clone. You just roll around and collect coins. So
I liked it. I'm sorry.
If that's your thing, then I'm, you know what, this game is going to be amazing for you. For me, on the other hand, it's not really my show. And then two big pieces of news. Cuphead finally has a release date, which is going to be September 29th. I know. But you know what? We'll have to see it before I believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
So they played some more footage. It looked awesome. It's going to be a great game.
I like how they kind of acknowledged it, and they were just like, okay, listen, here's the release date, that's it. You don't need to see anything else.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 15 seconds of gameplay, and then they just did that. It's
great. Like, all right, it's finally coming.
They know how mean they've been to us.
Oh, yes.
Next up was Crackdown 3, and again, that starts off with Terry Crews, and you can't go wrong with Terry Crews.
Never.
And, man, it comes out November 7th of this year. And again, it's just, that's going to be a really great game to play. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And then we got into a bunch of ID games. It just popped up a couple. Ashen looks kind of like a really cool indie game where I guess you're stuck underground in the dark, and every time you go outside, you have to fight these monsters. It kind of gave me the feel of Out of This World. The people didn't really have like facial expressions, but they have like detailed other ways. So it looks pretty cool. Life is Strange 2 comes out August 23rd. A new Ori and the Will of the Wisp. There's a lot of dead owls. And then the backward compatibility program is going to start releasing OG games.
I'm excited.
I believe they're starting, with Crimson Skies. So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It doesn't seem like I should be, but I am.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
You'll see. And then, you know, the last two things that really stuck out to me were the extended version again of Shadow of War. And, they introduced a brand new IP from BioWare and EA Games called Anthem. And that game looks really good. So, yeah, you can find all this on the site right now. So,
excellent.
Make sure to check it out.
Yeah, but lots overall, of really
good stuff. I thought it was a really good presser. You know, I think they did a really good job. It is definitely all about the powerful Xbox X. But I think there's a pretty good lineup of games in the future, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, me too.
It was really good. It was a great conference, like you were saying. Anthem looks really cool. I was watching some gameplay before the cast started, and it looks incredible.
It does.
Yeah.
So I think the last major thing that's happened so far at E3 that we got to talk about is kind of the elephant in the room, because I know we're not the biggest fans of it here. But Star Wars Battlefront 2 was shown off yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, forgot to mention this.
Yep. So what do you guys think? I've got some feelings on it, so I'll get into them. But let's see what you guys think first.
Rick, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hype train is pulling in the station for me. It looks cool. But I mean, I know the first one looked cool and they didn't really deliver. I could care less. Again, with the story mode, it doesn't bother me one way or another. If people want to play that, that's awesome. I don't know. I kind of got that feeling when people were being Darth Maul, of the feeling from Battlefront 2 for the OG Xbox. So I don't know. I'm a little bit excited for it.
So, Jason, do you want to go before I dig into this?
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty similar to Rick's feelings. I like the fact that there's a campaign, though. I really like that. I think that was sorely lacking in the first release. You kind of have to have that in there, even if it's half-assed. Not that this really feels like it is. I mean, it feels like they're really putting some effort into it, which is great. Great, great. And it's a nice angle, too, where you see things from the Imperial side instead of the Rebels, which is so typical. I like it. I like the first one, but this seems to have a hell of a lot more. So, you know, fingers crossed. It looks cool.
Right. So, kind of, I know what Rick's saying, and I don't think the lack of a campaign would have killed this game. A lot of people really wanted the campaign, though. Like, a lot of people. So I'm happy that's there. It looks like it's going to be really cool. Like you were saying, Jason, it's not the typical, you know, it's not the typical narrative we see. You know, the beginning of the game starts with the Battle of Endor and, you know, with the Imperial forces losing and losing their base. They're not their base, but they're, you know, their starship. And it's just going to be really cool to see. Sorry, I'm distracted. The Penguins just won the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh.
I'm just really angry about that.
Oh, boy.
But, sorry. So, it's really neat that you get to see a side that isn't that's not the Rebels, right? You get to identify with somebody who grew up under the Empire. I think that's really cool. Now, we don't really know much about the story mode for this game yet. There's not too much detail we've been given. But the multiplayer looks a lot cooler to me. So in the first game, if you never played it.
It looks really smooth. I think it's lacking. I don't know. It just looks better than the first one.
I agree. So in the first one, everything in the game relies on picking up power-ups. If you want to be Darth Vader, you got to pick up a power-up. If you want to fly an X-Wing, you got to pick up a power-up. You know, everything. In this game, classes, vehicles, heroes, everything is all earned based on the points you get from playing the actual game. So if you're playing as a regular infantry unit and you do well, you get more points that you can put towards playing as a hero, or you can put towards reinforcements to help push the point at the end, or you can use it to get in a V-wing or whatever they were. Or you can use them to play as a more powerful infantry unit with a shotgun or whatever. I think it's really neat. And it takes a lot of the randomness out of it, which is cool.
That is cool.
So far, I'm just kind of keeping my hype levels in check. But it's getting up there for me. It looks pretty good.
That's the same kind of method they used for Battlefront 2 on the Xbox, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah.
Pretty excited.
I'm probably in for it.
I mean, even the fact that they announced that all DLC is going to be free, and they're going to have themed seasons that come out. Like the first
that's
one
pretty
is
pretty amazing, by the way.
Yeah, and they might make up for it by charging for microtransactions for cosmetic stuff, but...
They have to do that, right?
I mean, I don't know if they have to or not, but I don't care if they are because I'm getting all the heroes and maps for free.
Right. So it's kind of like, who cares?
Yeah.
So.
I get what you're saying. There
we go. Very excited for that. I think that's the last major thing that we didn't talk about yet. That's already happened. Oh, there was a new Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer that dropped this morning. Did you guys see this?
You know what? I didn't watch it.
But, jinx.
Yeah. Buy me a Coke.
Well, it's on the site, and there's a lot of Sora jumping and flipping around and killing Heartless. It looks pretty nice. Take a watch of it.
Sounds typical.
Yeah, it looks good.
Does it?
Is it coming to the Switch?
No!
It's really not.
No, probably not. I mean, it'd be cool.
Is any of this? No.
Then why did I buy that machine?
Because it's got good games.
For the first party stuff.
Yeah.
You know it.
When's Nintendo's presser?
What'd you say?
When's Nintendo's presser?
Tomorrow. Tuesday. Okay.
Yep.
Are they going to do a new Metroid?
I hope.
No.
But realistically, no. Yeah, Jason's right. So,
yeah.
I don't know what my prediction would be. I don't want to get too far off of our talking points, but I don't know what my prediction would be for Nintendo's presser. I really don't.
Do you want to hear my hopeful or my realistic prediction?
Can you do both really fast?
Sure.
Okay.
Hopeful prediction is a Pikmin collection of Pikmin 1, 2, and 3 all on one cartridge for the Switch, with the announcement that Pikmin 4 is coming whenever, soon. And then my realistic prediction is Smash Brothers Deluxe. So it's going to be a combination of the 3DS and the Wii U versions, but they're going to add Inklings as characters.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe
I think you're right.
I can totally see that.
So that's a safe one. And my hopeful one is all of Pikmin.
I mean, there's lots. Yeah. That would be nice. There's lots of stuff I'd like to see. I'd like to see a new Donkey Kong Country. I'd like to see a new Metroid. I think probably what they're going to do is they're going to talk a lot of Mario. I think you might be dead on about that. I didn't even think about Smash Brothers, but I think you're right. And the Virtual Console, which you had also mentioned before. I think that's going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, the Virtual Console? That's coming? Probably it. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if they don't talk Virtual Console, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah, I'll be covering that. I've been trying to tweet more recently, and it's kind of suck at it, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the actual tweets suck. I mean, I suck.
No, tweeting. Not, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I had a pretty good one today. My buddy said how video games are supposed to be fun and bring people together, and we had a great week ahead of us. And I said, no, that's wrong.
I like that. Yes.
I know. Oh, it's funny.
It is wrong.
Yeah, we have Bethesda tonight, Ubisoft tomorrow, PlayStation tomorrow night, and Nintendo.
Oh, a quick note about Bethesda, by the way. There's a company called Gaming Heads. I think it's called Gaming Heads, either Gaming Heads or Game Heads. And they make like collectible statues and things like that from video games. And they're working on a Doom guy collectible from the Doom game, you know, like the little hyper stylized figurine. So they're making one of those, and it apparently even plays the original Doom song, has a little button on him. So he was, I just saw this on Facebook before we got on tonight. He was, one of those was being shipped to the Bethesda press event. I guess they were going to showcase him or something like that, but it broke in transit, so they will not have him.
Oh, no.
During the broadcast. So there you go.
That's too bad.
He looks cool.
Yeah, he does.
Ooh, that's always sad.
What, do you guys have any PlayStation?
God of War.
No. Yeah, God of War's there.
They're going to show huge. It's going to be huge, to borrow a phrase. But it's going to be all over the place, I think. And I can't imagine. I don't know. I don't know what else. But definitely God of War. I know they've got a ton of other exclusives that are like floating around. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a God of War fan, so.
Me neither.
Well, I think that about sums it up for E3 garbage talk. By the time this show goes up, by the way, it's a pretty good chance that all of these press conferences are going to be over and we'll know whether we were right or wrong. So, I mean, I could get this show up tonight, but we wait on some artwork for it and stuff.
Yep.
So, Jason, do you want to review Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project?
Sure. Quick. So, this was our retro review for the week, and it is the toughest to find of the NES TMNT games. The Manhattan Project was the third one, and it features the Turtles in basically the same type of game as the arcade game. The arcade game port for the NES. So it's very, very similar. You can do like a throw move where you can throw like the bad guy in front of you, you can throw him behind you, which is very important because bad guys gang up on you like crazy in this game. Other than that, it's really fun. The graphics are pretty good. And the sound is what it is. But for the NES, the graphics are good, and it's a pretty fun game. It's a little bit tough, but it's a fun time. So if you can track down a copy, I would definitely recommend trying it out. I gave it an 81. That's about it. It's a good one. Anybody have any questions about it?
I remember that one. I loved it.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever played any of the NES ones. I played the SNES ones, though, like Turtles in Time and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a great game.
But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, Turtles 2, the arcade game, is really cool. This one is really cool. I would try both of them. The first one, the first one when I was a kid, I had a hell of a lot of fun with. I don't know about you, Rick, if you ever played that, but it's super hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, super, super hard. Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't think I beat it. That one was tough.
No. There's a water level in particular that I think might be the toughest thing I've ever played in any game ever. It's like brutal.
All those games are hard.
Yep.
Well, do you guys want to know what retro review is coming up this week?
I would.
Well, I was having trouble deciding which one I actually wanted to do, but I think I'm landed on Sonic Adventure for the Sega Dreamcast.
Oh my.
Yep. It's coming.
Excellent.
Or I could just get out the Intellivision and review one of those games.
No, that's okay. Don't have to do that. Not for my sake, anyway. I wanted to mention, too, a pretty cool article that was put up the other day on BG. I hope I'm going to say this right. It's a review, hands-on slash review of Virtuix Omni, which is essentially a VR controller. It's a pad that you stand on, and it has like a ring that you close around you so you can't fall off of it, and it tracks your movement in games. So, I mean, yeah. So when you talk about like one step closer to like a holodeck kind of a thing, this is on that, on that track.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. We've got that up right now.
I like it. Let's check that out.
Yeah, next week's going to be good for reviews. Jason, you want to take us through your comic rack?
Sure. We really put up a lot of comic book stuff this week, but we did have a review of The Life and Times of Martha Washington in the 21st Century.
Hey,
didn't I wrote that.
I did. I wrote that.
And what did you think of it?
It was pretty good. So I never followed, Martha Washington was a character who was really active before I was even alive in the late 80s, I believe, and then before I was aware and able to follow comic books. But she's really this just super out there superhero type character who starts out with like really unfortunate beginnings and then goes to do all kinds of wacky stuff, like fighting fast food robots in the Amazon and getting lost in space and fighting aliens and predators, apparently. But it's really, the artwork's really good, and it's really neat because this 600-page graphic novel, I guess, collects all of the Martha Washington books. So you can see how the art evolves from beginning to end. You can see, you know, her origins in there. It's just really out there, wacky, off the wall, but still really poignant, or whatever, however that word's pronounced.
Poignant.
Yeah, poignant. I'm going to say that now.
Okay.
But it's good. It's fine. It's if you're, especially if you're a fan of Martha Washington and you don't have all the collected works, or if you just want them all in one book, or if you're curious about the character and just sound like it would be fun, that then it's also good. Yep.
Cool. So how many individual books are included in this?
A bunch. I would have to go through and look at the PDF to look at all of the, there's a lot though.
There's a, it's a lot of reading material though.
There's 600. Yeah. There's 600 pages.
Wow. So. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, Eric, I remember seeing that cover and I remember actually reading. It's a really good book.
Yeah.
Did you read it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did. I rented it from the library a while back in the day.
Awesome.
It's a really good book.
And for the disclaimer, I didn't read every single page, but I read bits and pieces throughout because I was not going to be able to read 600 pages for this. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a collection of the books. So I wasn't reviewing the quality of the books. I was reviewing the collection.
Well, exactly. And it's Frank Miller and Dave Gibbons. So
exactly. That too.
People should know right from that it's got some quality to it. Other than that, like I said, there wasn't too much. I did put up something about Astonishing number one, Astonishing X-Men number one, which of course Marvel is relaunching Astonishing yet again, and that'll be out in July. Yeah, you know, Marvel and their fixation with number ones. So that'll be out in July, but along with that, and I'll probably be picking up Astonishing, to be honest, because it's more X-Men and I want to see what they do with it. But there will also be another series of trading card variant covers. These, if you don't know what they are variant covers that play off of actual trading cards that were released in the past, X-Men trading cards. They are all done by Jim Lee. So that should tell you what quality the artwork is. And they are redone in terms of color work. So they have more modern effects on them, and they really pop really well. So if you go to BG, you can check it out. It's one of the first stories under the comics tab, and they're actually really neat. And all of these make for really cool screensavers, wallpapers as well. So really neat Cable one. There's a really cool Cyclops one, Sentinel, really cool stuff. So these will be across Marvel's slate of books, 29 issues in total for July. It's not just X-Men books, obviously, because there's not 29 X-Men books. So, you know, Spider-Man will have Psylocke on the cover. The Defenders will have Shadow King. Champions will have Cyclops. Black Panther will have Storm, you know, stuff like that. So pretty cool, though, if you're going to get variant covers, if you like that, these are probably some that you're going to want to check out. And finally, this week we had a review of the Green Lantern Volume 2, Green Lantern Corps, Volume 2, which is the Bottled Light story arc. Mac put that up, and let me just check his score here. He really liked it, gave it an 86. Green Lantern in Rebirth has been pretty good. I've been reading it since the start, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a return to what you expect from the Green Lantern books. So you have the whole core, you have Hal as the central point, but then you also have John Stewart, and you have Kyle Rayner, Guy Gardner, you know, all those usual characters. Now they've even worked in the Yellow Lanterns and stuff like that, and that's what this book semi-focuses on, with the yellow and the green working together. And it's pretty cool stuff. So definitely, if you haven't been reading Green Lantern all along, you're probably going to want to check out Volume 1. But Volume 2 is out now. It's subtitled Bottled Light. And again, we liked it just fine. So that is the comic rack this week. Not a ton, but we'll get some more comic stuff going for next week. Promise.
Cool.
Nice.
Sort of nice. It's okay.
Awesome. Well, what have we been doing in terms of the media or the video games or the movies or the books or whatever, TV?
Nothing. I'm playing something for review. I don't want to say too much about it, but it's pretty cool. It's a shooter. It's called Drifting Lands. And that I will have coming up pretty soon, probably this week. And then I'm playing Tekken 7 as well, which I just started, and that's pretty good too. So I'm going to have a snapshot of that up at some point.
Cool. How about you, Nadia?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. For me, I got one of the anime reviews up this week, and I'm not sure how many of you are into anime to begin with, but for me, for that show, for Chrono Crusade, it's actually really good, but I'll start backwards for a second here. When it came time for me to review the actual English voice acting, well, I decided to be very, very careful of how I articulated my feelings toward that, because it's not my intention to insult anybody or in any shape or form. So pretty much the English voice acting was a mixed bag. There were some voices that fit the characters well, and then there were some voices that did not work out. But I did not want to single out anybody or to be rude or to be too critical of them, because especially with all the interviews that I've done in the past, and I've learned a few things along the way when it comes to animation and dubbing, it takes a lot of work, and sometimes it's not the voice actor's fault of how things are delivered. Sometimes they have a really, you know, it depends on the voice director and how they're directed. But for me, the way that I approached it was saying that it was a mixed bag, but it by no means hindered my enjoyment of the first episode of the show. I'll have the episode 2 up this week a little bit early, but other than that, I think this is a good way for me to keep disciplined in writing, because that's all I want to do. I just want to write and keep up with it. Also, I heard back again from the young lady that's running the Sailor Moon celebration. So basically, that's a big convention for only Sailor Moon stuff. And she got back to me, and we're going to be doing an interview in early July because of how the scheduling is. It's going to be really tough for her to do it right now. So after she's rested up, we'll get on with that, and I should have that published within early July or so. So it's not too busy, but that's what I've been up to for the last couple of days and figuring out what else that I wanted to do. But that's pretty much it right now.
Cool. How about you, Rick?
I'm playing Zelda on the Switch. Nice. It's amazing. I love it.
Cool. And so, me, I've been playing Disgaea 5, which I got last Monday. So it's an SRPG. I'm playing it on the Switch, and it's super Japanese. Obsessively, aggressively Japanese.
It looked so,
it is. I'll have a snapshot of that up in a bit. It came out at the end of May, so it's still pretty recent. I'll have a snapshot of that up at some point soon. And other than that, I've just been watching The Flash. I actually am not in the middle of reviewing anything right now, other than just a Gaia, but that's just a Flash review. Yeah. So.
You've been liking The Flash a lot, right?
Oh, I've been loving it. I'm at the end of season 1. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I did just get to the episode where Gorilla Grodd is prevalent, and I haven't watched it yet. The episode is 21, I think it's called Grodd Lives. Very excited to watch that.
There's a lot of cool Grodd stuff in your future.
Very excited. Although he seems really rude.
Well, he is.
But, you know, we'll talk about that. But it's been incredible so far. Some of the it's just so neat. I really like the Flash. He's a cool hero.
Mm-hmm. They did a good job with him.
Yeah.
All right.
And Reverse Flash.
Oh, yeah. So I guess that's about it for us. From the middle of E3, I'm going to be awake for another 2 hours at least, which is upsetting.
Eric, but, why don't you just wake up like at like 5 or 6 and just watch it in its entirety and then?
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay. I mean, obviously you can just watch it live, but you don't necessarily need to.
This is very true.
About this off the air. Everybody, this is Eric, joined by Rick.
Rick X.
Jason.
Yeah, this is Jason.
X.
Oh, wait.
The best one.
No, yes.
The best one. Space Jason.
And Nadia.
Have a good evening, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for listening, y'all. We'll catch you after E3. Bye.